get it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's blind.
Ladies and gentlemen, everybody out there, what is going on? Welcome to the Ball Don't Lie NBA Finals post-game show. Game two is in the books. The Heat win this one 111-108, man. As you guys, Scott Dante in there. You know to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at Barbecue Scott, at October Zone Tay. And we have a special, non-special guest, the co-owner of this great media company that you were watching this on, Mr. Flo Zandellini, one half of 79th and Hylas. How are you doing, sir?
I just watched some terrible basketball. I'm ready to talk.
He's like, what's up all these damn threes?
What ain't that? It's just bozo ball. It's just bozo ball.
It was definitely a bozo ball towards the end.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that shit was. But yeah. We are here to break down this game like we've been doing every game in this series. Shout out to everybody in the chat room. Shout out to Jay Hood. Shout out Billy Ice. He said Michael Porter Jr. is a fucking bum. I tweeted in like the third quarter, if MPJ isn't making threes, he is fucking useless.
Yeah.
Before we get to our stats and everything, let's just go around the room and give like our initial thoughts to game two. We'll give our esteemed guest the floor first.
Nuggets in five. Nothing that the Heat did impressed me, because it was just a really bozo meltdown by the Nuggets. You expect for Aaron Gordon and MPJ to just be hot one game, off one game. That's pretty much been the story of their entire playoff run. But it wouldn't matter, because Jamal Murray and Jokic would do enough that it would even out. This game, Jamal Murray took way too long to think, you know what, it's time for me to start shooting. And that type of deference I just hate in today's modern NBA, where players don't live and die with their status as stars. Like, Jamal Murray became a star, and I say with air quotes, became a star during the bubble, and he showed how good he is, and he's done it throughout the playoffs. But that deference, like, if you get on the cold streak, nigga, keep shooting. As the great Deion Waiters once said, I would rather be like 0 for 30, because if I'm like 0 for 9, that means I stop shooting. Yeah. If there's one thing I am always an advocate for, is living and dying behind your superstars / stars. Living and dying with them. If I was a fan of the Nuggets and let's say Murray was 0 for or 5 for 25, I'd be like, hey man, that happens. But I would rather see that than 0 for or 5 or 1 for 9 and you see MPJ and Aaron Gordon with 15 shots. I don't want to see that. I want to see the superstars of the stars taking the majority of these shots and then passing out, kicking it out when it's necessary. But it's too much deference by the Nuggets. And Jokic did everything he could. I mean, when he got to the cup, he was hoeing anybody who was in there. There's no solution to Jokic. But it sucks when he put up so many good passes that either the players deferred to shoot shots or they took it, like MPJ was doing bozo threes. Threes that MPJ didn't have any – there's no reason for him to take those threes, but he did. So my immediate reaction was, this is just a bunch of bozo ball. And the Heat really threw everything that they had at the Nuggets. It was a perfect quarter for sure in the fourth. They threw everything that they had, and the Nuggets lost by three, with the Nuggets playing some really awful ball, shooting under 40% from three, and I don't know if it was like 40-some percent from the floor. And having someone like Kevin Love come in and getting 10 boards is an issue. Yeah. So to see that all of this happened and you lost by three, it should be encouraging if I'm a Nuggets fan to know I still – have faith. Now, of course, the Heat culture is a cult. Who knows what could happen? These niggas like they were ready to die for the Heat. So, but as of right now, I still have Nuggets in five.
Well, shout out to somebody in the comments say Heat went to his own defense and the Nuggets offense turned to Mr. Trubisky.
that's exactly what happened, G. They ran like a 1-3-1 and the motherfuckers forgot how to shoot the basketball. But no, Joe made a great point. The Nuggets really look like they melted down in that fourth quarter. They really lost their composure, and that's something we rarely see from them. So, and you know, shout out to the Heat role players. They answered my all the trash I was talking
about. They definitely started crying.
You know, everybody showed up. Said, okay, man, we got you.
Duncan Robinson was like, "Oh, I'm Chris Novak, I'm Steve Novak, nigga."
Right. Like, Duncan had a great game. Gabe Vincent, This is his fifth.
I got a bone to pick with Eric Spoelstra. Nigga, yeah. I needed this parlay a lot earlier. We had like 5 freaking minutes throughout the first 3 quarters. What are you doing?
Yeah. Nah, like this was the fifth game this postseason and Gabe Vincent that scored 20 points. So, you know, he really showed up when we talk about the role players for the Heat. But another thing we talked about after the first pregame show, Kevin Love. We put Kevin Love in the starting lineup. Kevin Love had some good spurts out there and sparked a couple runs for the Heat. But we really saw them battle, and that's something that we said we're going to see from them throughout the playoffs. And so, like you said, I'm still going Nuggets in 5 because if I'm the Nuggets, I completely melted down. They got all of their role players for the most part to show up. Bam Adebayo played well, you know what I'm saying, whether it was, you know, being a facilitator, setting shit up, or just flat out getting buckets today. But with all of that said, you lost by 3 points. So, you know, if I'm Denver, I'm not worried, but at the same time, you got to get more from your role player. Like you said, Michael Porter Jr., 1 for 6 from 3. You can't hide that. KCP, he fouled 2 3-point shooters. That's 6 easy points he gave up. Like, simple shit that Denver normally doesn't do. We haven't seen them do. This is their first loss at home in the postseason. So, yeah. you know, this is the first time we've really seen them melt down like that in the fourth. But like you said, shout out to the Heat. They really took that game.
Yeah, I'll say to me, you know, I said Heat in 5 to begin, not Heat in 5, but Nuggets in 5 to begin the series when we did our you know, finals preview and things like that. But I didn't really see anything, like I said, that would make me nervous if I'm like a Nuggets fan or if I'm Michael Malone or anybody on the Nuggets. I think the key stat here is, yeah, Jokic had all, you know, the great points. He only had 4 assists, and that's mainly because Michael Porter Jr. was selling. And I don't know what the fuck he was doing. They were just terrible 3. KCP had one. KCP went back to his Kentavious Caldwell parole days, like before LeBron got there and shit. You know,
I will say he just stopped looking for a shot too. That was like, even like, I don't know. I don't think his shot percentage of total shots was that bad, but he just stopped looking for shots. Had wide open shots that he took four
shots.
Yeah. That deference will kill you.
And then, but them 2 dumbass fouls from 3, like he fouled. Who was the first one? I think it was Gabe Vincent. He fouled from 3 first. Or yeah, Duncan Robinson.
Then he fouled Kyle.
Yeah, fouling Kyle Lowry that deep behind the line. Like, come on, like he's not making that. Like you can back up a little bit off that. But I think with the Heat, and I said any chance that he had for this to be a long series, they had to win one of the first 2. Now, it was just a matter of time before the Nuggets lost. They won 7 in a row coming to this game. Of course, the way they finished off the Suns in the second round with that game 5 win and then that blowout win in Phoenix and then just completely destroyed the Lakers in 4 straight games. So they were due for a stinker. But if you're the Heat, you still got to feel good. You know, if I'm the Heat, you got to feel good. It gives you a chance to – the way you should look at it right now is – you know, of course you want to get both games home in Miami, but let's be real. I would be stunned if we are sitting here a week from now and it's a 3-1 Heat lead in Denver. I would be shocked. But if you were looking at it like, man, just split 2 and get yourself a chance in a 3-game series. I don't know if there was anything they found, you know, like there was any X's and O's, but it's kind of like what I said after game 1. Like, they were not going to shoot this bad from 3-point anymore before Dante poo-pooed my take. They weren't going to shoot this bad from 3 just off how they've been playing all postseason. We know Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin only had 1 3, but it was a big 3 at the end, which kind of was like a dagger a little bit, gave them a little distance towards the end. They've been just playing that well. And Duncan Robinson, man, he literally saved them in that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Because they were playing around and he came, started hitting 3s. And that game was, I feel like, not just for me, but everybody watching, even though it was close for really all of the second half, like heading into halftime, it was only a 6-point game. But I feel like nobody watching was like, oh, you know, Denver will find a way just because how quickly they tore down that 11-point lead. But they were able to stay around, keep hitting their 3s. The only complaint I have, if they want to win this series, and I feel like we said this after game 1, Jimmy got to get more aggressive. Like, I understand he made some big baskets toward the end, but nigga, shoot something. Like, he just don't even try to shoot as much as he probably needs to be doing.
Yeah, and it's crazy you say that because he took the most shots on the team today, but it just didn't feel like it.
It didn't feel like it. Yeah,
that aggressiveness wasn't there. And speaking of just, you know, the momentum and how big shots were, Duncan Robinson only hit two threes, but he hit two threes in the fourth quarter when they really needed them. And that's what we talked about. In game one, they didn't get anything from any role players. And we know that, you know, that's usually how it goes on the road. And that really determines who's going to win those games if you can, you know, pull one out. So for the Heat, you know, you took care of business. You got the splits you needed. And now you're going back to South Beach. You know, we know home field, home court ain't really a thing in Miami. But you have an opportunity to, you know, go up 2-1.
I get it. Heat fans, this the crowd. These playoffs been pretty good. Now them niggas don't get that to the second quarter, but yeah, when it's packed, you know they. I don't know what song they be singing, but it's, they feel like you in a damn soccer stadium sometimes. Yeah. When they be at the, we can actually see actual celeb courtside. It was so bad. These niggas were showing Adam Silver and his wife doing celebrity row.
I know that nobody's coming to Denver, bro. I mean, we could sell that. We can let that go. That's just not gonna happen.
Russell Wilson and Peyton Manning and shit like that. But what do y'all think? I know both of y'all say that y'all got still only got this going five. What can the Heat do to actually make this a six, maybe seven game series?
You better pray that MPJ and Aaron Gordon continue to let that bozo gene flourish. That's really the biggest thing, because even someone like Jamal Murray, like I'm looking at his shot chart throughout this game. It was just a matter of him not taking a lot. Like the first quarter, he takes three shots. The second quarter, he takes four shots. The third quarter, he took one shot. One shot and he made it. Yeah. One shot and he made it. Then the fourth quarter is when, okay, now he starts to take six shots. But the problem is why are you taking one shot through three quarters? Like we talked about Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler took about four or five shots every quarter. And you're fine with that. Now, of course, I like the superstar to get 22 plus shots, especially in the finals. In the regular season, it is what it is. But during the finals, when it's intensively dependent upon the stars and the superstars, you need to be taking that. But also, as you would notice, is that the Heat, but compared to the Heat and the Nuggets do not play deep into their bench, which most teams don't typically in the playoffs and the finals, whereas the Heat play very, very deep into their bench, which is usually something you want to exploit if you are the Nuggets. Like, if you got Cody Zeller in there, pretty sure I'd give it to Jokic every play.
Bro, Cody Zeller was out there. He was out there, police, help! Yeah.
You know, but he played 10 players today.
Normally that doesn't happen. And every time this happened, I did not see the Nuggets taking advantage of that happening. But Jamal Murray, going back to my point about Jamal Murray, taking one shot in the third quarter, that's just egregious. That literally can never happen. It should never be, especially when you're that second guy. You need to be taking at least four to five shots a game. I mean, 4 to 5 shots a quarter.
Yeah, I agree with that. Dante, what'd you think?
No, I agree with what he said. If you're Denver, because the question is Miami, right?
What can
Miami
like, how does Miami make this a longer series? Yeah,
You know, you need your role players to show up like they did today. You need, it may not be Gabe Vincent again, but you need one person, unexpected person, to give you 20 points. Obviously, you know, we still waiting on to hear about Tyler Hero. He was held out of the game today, but
keep him out of the series.
Keep him out. It's gonna be a motherfucking chemistry reasons.
For chemistry reasons, you got it. I wouldn't rush Tyler back. Like, we talked about how we would use him in last episode. But if I'm Spo, like I said, I keep doing what I'm doing. Like, but you need your role players to show up. You got a lot of quality minutes from guys tonight. Like I said, Kevin Love, you know, even though he was only 2 for 6 from the field, he had
10 boards.
Ten rebounds. And Bam Adebayo was all over the place, bro. He did a little bit of everything tonight, defensively, offensively. Like I said, he was setting screens. He was getting a lot of hockey assists, where, you know, shit like that. And so you just need to a lot of that. And so, you know, game one, if you're getting absolutely nothing from everybody, because, like, especially we talked about this again and again, Jimmy's running on fumes. We saw him in the fourth quarter. We saw him in the fourth quarter start to look for a shot more. But I think
he got a bozo gene too.
Yeah,
I got that last three. There's no reason for you to take that three.
Yeah, that's one of those. I'm tired, bro. Let me try to hit this for momentum's sake.
But he needs some big face coffee. Nigga.
Yeah, you know what? He's tired because he don't get no lift on that shot.
Yeah,
and he got none. Yeah. That bad boy was a cluster strike directly at the rim.
Like, even that one three he made in the corner, that was one of them last-ditch effort threes.
Yeah, it was.
That's exactly what that was. I mean,
I actually did not answer your question. I went on a tangent. But what the Heat can do specifically is I like to see Bam get involved in the offense as much as possible because his athleticism is his skill. Because Jokic cannot defend. But Jokic really can't defend a big man who is that athletic. Yeah. I love the pick and roll between him. It got plenty of good shots. What they can't do is, like, the flopping they did tonight, sometimes refs will call it, sometimes they won't. I would not have that as a consistent strategy. Like, there was a time when, was it Max Strus or Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson, one of them got fouled, did not hit them in the head, and then went down for, like, 5 seconds, which, of course, I hate that level of flopping. But I would not look for that type of performance to slow down a team because normally that does not work on the Nuggets. So I wouldn't be doing that. Secondly, Jimmy Butler has to have help around him because he is running on fumes. When you see him walk down the court, he goes, whew, it reminds
you. I know that altitude is kicking his ass too.
You know, it reminds you of that scene in the bubble. Remember the bubble where he's resting?
Oh, yeah,
where
he passed out. Yeah.
Literally resting on the hoop, resting on the board behind the hoop because he's so tired. So their best bet is they need Gabe Vincent to continue to do what he's doing. Like when I saw on FanDuel that Gabe Vincent to get 20 points was plus 700, I said, that's just stupid. He got 19 last night. Gabe Vincent needs to give you 20 a game. He has to give you 20 a game. Bam Bam Adebayo has to give you at least 9 and 15 every single game for the rest of the series, which he can do pretty easily, I think. But sometimes he defers as well. Jimmy Butler has to take like 22, 23 shots per game. It needs to be that. Then you got to hope Max Strus ain't being a bum, which he was great in the first quarter. 4 out of 6, he finished 4 out of 10.
You said he's going to finish with 17.
He finished with 17. Yeah. You know, I was like, you got to hope because last game he was over 10. And you can't believe that just because you've played zone that this is going to defer the Nuggets. They're going to just respond next game, and you can't be stagnant. Oh, well, they couldn't do it. They couldn't deal with the zone. They're going to figure it out the next game, and they're going to exploit you. Like, I'm expecting a Nuggets blowout in game 3 just because that seems to be the trend of these games. So the best bet is I need 20 from Butler and Gabe Vincent. Gabe Vincent has had a hot hand this whole playoffs. I need damn near a double-double from Bam Adebayo, and you need one of those role players to probably give you 3 to 4 threes. Duncan Robinson seems to be pretty consistent this playoffs, but his minutes have been very weird.
That's because sometimes he can't guard a chair.
That's true. Max Strus can't guard anybody either, though.
Yeah.
And Max Strus has had at least 4 bozo games in a row before this. And then this game, he finished terribly too. So yeah. I would not even have gave him the minutes he had this game. If I'm Spo, I would put Duncan Robinson in more. No reason he should have just got ticked like that toward the end or had shots geared toward him toward the end.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is just, you know, just Spo playing chess. And with Duncan Robinson, if he's not making shots, you pretty much don't want him on the court. And so, like, that was a lot of the times with that. But, with the Heat, I think going back to Miami, this is a best-case scenario. I think it was better for them to win game 2 as opposed to game 1. I know a lot of people think momentum is overrated. But I think getting a dub, getting on the plane.
Basketball is the number one momentum sport.
Yeah, exactly, bro. Like, this is perfect for what Miami is trying to do.
The only thing with momentum don't really matter that much is in baseball because it really just depends on who your pitcher's starting. You'd be on fire, but if you got a nigga out there throwing like Lance Lynn, it don't fucking matter.
What was the boy dude who used to play for the – is it the Twins? He used to always dominate us.
Johan Santana?
No, he's a pitcher.
Oh, Johan. Yeah, Johan, nigga.
No. I'm sorry. He's a white pitcher. The Guardians.
Oh, you talking about Shane Bieber, nigga?
Shane Bieber. That's what I'm thinking of. I feel like for years, I would see the White Sox have maybe a couple good series in a row. Then they get to playing against the Guardians then. And you get to Shane Bieber day, and he just smokes them.
Get 2 hits.
Exactly. It would not matter, and either he was getting 7 innings or he's getting a complete game, and he would just smoke the Sox. And so that's what, in terms of momentum, no, I don't think it is. I still don't think momentum is most prevalent in basketball.
Explain. I want to hear this theory.
When a team is just in that zone in football and they just have the crowd rocking behind them, players who are terrible just somehow, it's like the offensive line also all of a sudden becomes Orlando Pace. Every single player becomes Orlando Pace. The quarterback has a zone that doesn't make any sort of sense, placing passes that don't make any sense. It's like Mitch Trubisky when he had a 6-touchdown game. All of his passes look good. Yeah, I was like, this looks great, but we were fooled by momentum. The momentum is there. Now, basketball, sure, it's definitely momentum. And as the game has shifted more to the outside shooting, definitely momentum plays a part.
I think hockey, too.
Oh, hockey.
Yeah. Nigga, you hockey's get a hot goalie. Yeah. You get a hot goalie, nigga, you can go wherever.
You know, how many times, who was the goalie before he had his last season a couple years ago for the Hawks?
Corey Crawford.
How many times have we seen him just have looking crazy, and in one game, he look incredible because the momentum is going that way. And then, I mean, 17 seconds. Do we not forget that when they're just in the zone? So, yeah, basketball is definitely a game of momentum. But
I know Sox angst will make his way into the pod. You knew one way we was going to discuss that. The bum-ass wife said, I am not falling for that Jake Berger walk-off grand slam today.
Yes,
shout out to him, though.
Shout out to Jake Berger. Yeah. By the way, Jake Berger randomly follows me on Instagram. He be watching my stories.
I'm gonna say, Scott, I'm glad you shared that because you know I try to stay out of this. But every time, if you notice, every time we get this, the White Sox are back. We play some bum ass team from our division that we done beat up on. Please stop celebrating after we beat the Royals, the Tigers. Let that shit go, bro. Like
they
this is
Scott.
We talking about text the schedule we got coming up, boy. Yeah. We about to get smoked.
We were talking about Shane Bieber. Literally before that White Sox game on the 16th, he had games where he had only the past three games they'd only given up two runs. Somehow went against the Sox and gave up 12 hits, 6 runs. That's the first time I've ever seen that. I was like, that doesn't really happen. I didn't watch the game. I'm like, Shane Bieber's going to smoke us. He's going to do something crazy, and that happens. So that's a rarity.
But Dante, you said like you think why you think game two was better for the win than game one?
Because what we just talked about, the momentum, G. Like heading back to South Beach, you know, you want your role players to be getting into a rhythm because you know going home they're gonna play better.
Yep.
So like prime example, we fuck around and get a Caleb Martin 20-point game in game three. Like I know we think we expect the Nuggets to win, but I do think it's gonna be another good game. And I think like I said, Spo is gonna continue to make the adjustments that he feels are necessary. I want to see how he continues to use Kevin Love because Kevin Love started, but he damn sure didn't finish. You know, he used him in the spurts when he needed to. And so I still got Nuggets in five, but I'm more inclined to say it's going to be a close series as opposed to just blowouts back and forth.
I mean, it's like with the
because they played twice in the regular season, and like I think it was like
them two
total
games
like 9 points.
Because Jamal Murray ain't play one, Jimmy ain't play one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of. And the last time they played was like January. Like,
even with the Lakers and Nuggets, I thought the vast majority of those games were very competitive. So yeah, I'm not expecting the Nuggets to come in. The Nuggets gave up a lot of leads through that entire series, so I'm not expecting the Nuggets to come in and just smoke them. Because a sweep is a sweep, and a sweep will look bad, but when the games are very close, it's deceptive. And it's the same with me saying the Nuggets are 1-5. I don't think it's going to be five, just them destroying them. But I do think at every position on the team, the Nuggets are better than them, except Jimmy Butler. Literally.
So, to wrap this up, this last topic. So, if you, Michael Malone, what you telling the guys in the post game, right? In the locker room right now, like what you heading to Miami, where it's going to be, this is still Miami, Florida. You got to stay focused. As you can tell, Stephen A is very excited to be there. First time the NBA Finals in Miami for almost a decade because we know that government experiment that happened in Florida, in Orlando. So, this will be first time we have one there. What do you think Michael Malone telling his team?
I mean, honestly, I think he has to tell his team to make – they got to make shots. They got to make shots. Like, I'm looking at the box score. Like, obviously, when Aaron Gordon, Bro only took 7 shots, and he made 5. So, I'm not really upset with him. And he did good defensively. But with Michael Porter going 2-for-8. KCP going 1-for-4. You feel me? Like, you got to make shots. Like I said, Murray, you need him to be more aggressive. So, other than that, you got to keep playing the game you've been playing the entire playoffs. You know, this is your first loss at home.
Yeah.
So, it's not anything to panic about. And you lost by 3 points. With, like I said, Gabe Vincent gave you a dub. You know, Duncan Robinson hit some big shots. You had everything that needed to go right for the Heat went right. And you lost by 3 points.
Yeah.
So if I'm Denver, I'm not panicking at all. I just, you know, continue to play a game and you got to execute and make shots.
Yeah. I don't know, in terms of a speech, I don't really know. But if there was a strategy, I might consider giving Bruce Brown more time down the stretch. He seems to have been pretty consistent this entire playoffs. I didn't mind the minutes of Christian Braun. I mean, he was 3-for-3, very active around the floor. I thought it was a good decision to have him play during really most of the first half, especially getting, I think he had like 3 assists or something like that. So I don't mind that. My issue is Jeff Green playing. You know, I feel like I've seen Jeff Green since high school.
Because you have.
Jeff Green was the
number one guy to get Kevin Garnett to Boston. Yeah. Like, that's how long this nigga's been in the league.
Like, bro, Jeff Green is either really good or really terrible. Yeah. Like, he gonna show you why he's supremely athletically gifted, or it's like, bro, get Jeff Green off the court.
Yeah. I just feel like he was just a waste on the floor. You know, like he was one of one. The shot he took, he hit. He hit like what, 6 free throws, I think.
Yeah,
6 free throws.
6 or 6.
You know, so he was very on paper. It's like, oh man, he did fine. But that's when the stats don't tell you the whole story. I saw him there, and I'm like, you're just standing there. I don't know if anybody remembers the NBA Live Andrew Bynum Jesus glitch.
Yes,
this is when Andrew Bynum stood in the court and just stood like this, and it was a glitch. And somebody said, what's wrong with this game? It was the NBA Live demo. It was like Live 15 or some shit. I don't remember what it was. Yeah. But that's what I think of when I see Jeff Green on the court. He's just there. It's no use for him being there. And, you know, as you were saying, Dante, either he's really good or it's just, why are you in the game? I honestly would just shed some of those minutes. MPJ, matter of fact, Bruce Brown had more minutes than MPJ. I really like the concept that if MPJ isn't doing well, stick Bruce Brown in there, get you like a fire starter. I would probably really lean on that more because there's some games MPJ would just look ridiculous and Bulls fans will say, oh man, why didn't we have him? You know, as I've seen plenty of times through our Twitter recently.
I've seen niggas mad about Max Strusel. I'm like, nigga, you didn't know who he was a couple months ago.
Like, I had no clue he even went to DePaul. Like, so, no, I
would, mean, he was a Bull. Like, people forget that shit.
I don't remember that at all.
Exactly. Wait, what?
Yeah, he was a Bull. Nigga, they cut that nigga.
Hilarious. Remember, heat culture is a cult. It doesn't matter. The names they get make no sense. I don't even care that they're doing it. It's weird. But I would stick between that, the shift between Bruce Brown and MPJ. Get Jeff Green out of the game. Christian Braun, I don't know. I like what he does out there. He's really athletic. He really is active. But I really like Bruce Brown in the game. So that probably will be my tweak because MPJ is going to tweak out. And then you got to tell Jamal Murray, you better start shooting.
Yeah.
I may have a one-on-one conversation with him and say, you tripping. You need to be shooting. He needs to take 4 to 5 shots a quarter. He needs to play like of course, Jokic is he's a superstar, the star of this team. But man, Jamal Murray can give you 25 easily.
Yeah.
Should have gave me 25 tonight. On my parlay, nigga.
Like, that should have been easy money.
Yeah, no, they got to run a two-man game. They got to.
It has to be that. And to finish off, Mike Malone needs to be really more decisive with his timeouts. I don't like the idea that you have to you can't take timeouts with you. You have 2 timeouts left at the end of the game.
You should have Joe Mazzulla shit today.
You know, and that doesn't make any sense. Jimmy Butler took a boneheaded three. There's 108, 111. You need that three. You've got 11 seconds left. Take a timeout.
Yeah. I think the only reason he didn't take that timeout is a semi respect for Spo because it's like I don't want them to get set. I'm gonna play. He probably made we don't know if he told him, because sometimes
that's what Grant Hill said on the post.
Yeah, he'll set up they'll set up a play. Before that, hey, whatever happens here, we are gonna go do this X Y Z blah blah blah. So I think that was more so I don't want Spo to get an opportunity. I'm going to set my defense.
On both ends, respect for Spo and also respect for Jamal Murray because he's had such a great postseason. When they're like, okay, I'm going to give you this. Even though he was some real Carlton shit. But everybody in the chat, Billy Ice said something that was real smart. He said, Malone got to tell his team, if they're in a bonus with 9 minutes left, they better attack the cup. Yes. Yeah. There's no reason they shouldn't have been to the free throw line more.
Analytics.
Boneheaded gene. First of all, analytics is the worst thing that's happened to sports. Get nerds out of my sports.
Analytics are for general managers. That's
get nerds out of my sports. I hate to have you the words nerd. Get them niggas out of the room. I don't care about your numbers that you made up. You're a crazy person. They don't matter. Like it's like with football. You're like, well, you know, all of this. I'm like, brother, I don't care about that. I care about analytics in baseball. I really, really love analytics.
You know the rule. I only care about PFF when it fits my agenda.
PFF is the craziest thing ever. Like, their top 10 cornerbacks list was ridiculous. But like, if you can make up stats that for some reason bypass the eye test, that's a problem.
Yeah. Anyway. But and like you said, like, that's why I like baseball analytics, is because when you look at the top analytic guys, they're usually the guys that pass the eye test.
Yeah,
it's not a random bum that's like, oh shit, his per 36 is 27 points, 10 rebounds. Like, get the fuck out of here. He's not doing that.
That Paul Millsap was better on the court than fucking Chris Bosh or some shit like that. And this was like, it's always some silly shit. I was like, all right, man.
It's your stats, and this is why I hate mathematicians. Your stats have to match reality. Just stop making numbers out of thin air that have really nothing to do with the reality of the empiricism of the game. So anyway, but Mike Miller, as much as I respect the concept that he respects Spo, it's one of those things where you just live and die with making certain decisions. I live and die with the superstars and the stars taking most of the shots. And I live and die with taking the timeout when you have the last second shot. And live and die with the concept of icing the kicker, something like that in football. I live and die with concepts like that. Or you're the goal line and you're first and goal, or you're fourth and one, you run. Or remember the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. What do we say? That was just stupid. You just run there. And
he killed it down purpose. There's no doubt in my mind he didn't want Beast Mode had a glory. Bro, I'm convinced, bro.
I'm an analytics say, well, no, man, it seems like it's – analytics say it's better when you're spaced out. No. You line up in the I formation and you run.
I've played enough Madden to know that's false.
I've played enough football. You line up in the I formation and you run. And in basketball, you take a timeout before you have that last second shot. Yes, they're going to get defense set up, but you can get your play set up. Because that Jamal Murray shot, he was blanketed. He was not open.
Yeah, it was good.
He was completely – that jazz step, that step back did not fool Jimmy. Yeah. Jimmy closed that gap within seconds. And the shot looked cool, but I would rather live and die with you taking a better play than that.
That's and right. I'll say this as I wrap it up. I don't think there's that much they got to change. Like you said, they need to talk to Jamal Murray about being more aggressive toward the end. And they need to take Michael Porter Jr. and, like, remember what Kendall did to Roman at the end of the Succession finale? We took that nigga scab and was like hitting on his damn on the shoulder. That's what you need to do. Like, stop fucking tripping, nigga. Like, there were so many shots where just was like, what are you doing? Like, so he had to cut down on that. If he has a good game, they should be able to win. But at the same time, don't fall for the trick that the Celtics, the Knicks, and the Bucks fell for. These niggas will get you. And then you'll be heading back to Denver down 3-1, Jimmy doing timeouts and shit, and things like that. You'll be wondering what the fuck happened. So take them very, very seriously. So y'all, so both of y'all got Denver in game three? Or?
Oh, I got Denver in game three. I got Denver. I got a final score for you too. I'll let you go.
I got Denver by. I'll probably say Denver by six. I don't think it's gonna be a blowout. I think it's gonna be another good game.
Final score: Denver 121, Miami 103.
I think
Jamal Murray has 32 points. Book it.
I think Book this it. Is going to be a six game.
Put it in your parlay.
I'm going with the Miami Heat in game three. I'm still sticking with the Nuggets as a pick. But I'm going to Miami Heat in game three. Very, very close game. There's going to be a lot of Jimbo buckets and Gabe Vincent towards the end. And
I just Gabe had like 5 points just because I said something.
Right, exactly. And I just think the others in general are going to keep playing well because they're back at home. Like, you might have Caleb Martin looking like he's fucking Paul Pierce again. So you might get that. So I'm going to go with that, man. But we'd like to thank Flo Legler for joining us today. Great basketball analysis today. You can tell he's been gambling.
I've learned. That's hilarious. The reason I am watching is because I have been gambling.
You can tell he's been gambling.
I already won, 2,700 last year, Boston and the Heat, just because I was betting on the Jaylen Brown Bozo gene, and he did not let me down because the Bozo gene came through. It's funny. I've learned to accept the state basketball is in. It's not real man ball. I've accepted it.
It's not real man ball. Just Bears training camp in 2 months. Next month, nigga.
Go to the cup. There's no reason, and I'll leave it. Michael Porter Jr. is ridiculously gifted. He does not have to settle for outside shots. He can create a shot just fine. Drive, nigga, what are you doing? That's why no blood. I didn't put him in my parlay either. I was like, he might give me 15. I was like, you know what? Not today. No. And I made a great choice.
He can't take no body blows, G. That back is still fragile. Like that's why he settles so much, in my opinion.
Remember the on WCW Rap is Crap World Tour? Joe is Threes a Crap World Tour. He gonna get shit. There's no 3-pointers posted.
You lucky I'm not Adam Silver. I would erase the 3-point line. You gonna come to the game one day and say, oh, ain't no more line. You better drive. Outside shots don't mean nothing.
Speaking of Adam Silver, Ja Morant gonna get his video game skills up. That nigga not playing to 2024.
When is the decision on his which
one? They said they waiting to right after the NBA finals, which tell me they finna drop the hammer down.
They got a bomb on, bro. Yeah. 41. 41 of them things.
Yeah, I think
somebody so gifted wants to make it out the NBA to the streets. Crazy.
He wants to be King Von. That's exactly what he wants to be, man. But
just stupid, whatever.
We gonna be out of here, man. As far as this week, of course, we'll be back for Game 3 on Wednesday. No sitting with the guys until Secret Invasion starts. Allegedly, Flo's will be joining me.
We'll see.
Time out. Did y'all see Spider-Man?
I didn't see it yet.
Hey, we might need to do one on Spider-Man. That's a good ass movie, bro.
Like me, my brother, it's animated. I'll get there when I get there.
It's animated. I'll see it. I already know what happens. I looked up the synopsis because I don't care.
I don't really care about spoilers. For if it's not like in the
issue, yeah.
I'll see it when I see it. But
I'm waiting for Sony to sell the rights. I've had enough.
That's never gonna happen.
I watched Let There Be Carnage. I was just so pissed off. I'm like, this is a waste of a film. Just give the rights up. You don't need to have these rights anymore. This is stupid. And you know, I liked it. The first Spider-Verse movie was excellent. One of the best animated movies I've ever seen. It's also animated. I don't care enough. You know, part of me may wait until I can rent it on Amazon Prime.
I'll be real like this. Look, Fast X is going to be on digital on Friday. And Spider-Verse is that quick, I'm not even going to the movie then.
Yeah, bro, happens so quick these days, bro. Yeah. Like, movies be out for like 3 weeks and they be on digital. Like,
Creed 3 was on digital the same month it came out. And
I don't know Fast X is going to be on digital.
On digital. Blu-ray comes out in August, but it's going to be on digital on Friday. Like I believe the only reason Disney waited long
Fast X appears to be landed less than a month after hitting theaters. Wow.
Exactly. The only reason Quantumania took so long is because Disney, I honestly believe Disney didn't know what to do with Jonathan Majors as far as promo. That's why I feel like what took that so long to come out. But
so you see what DC doing with your boy Ezra.
There's no promo run. I don't even think there's a premiere set next week.
Yeah. I thought it's
just, I heard nothing about
it's a premiere. They said he's gonna like take pictures and that's it, and like go into the.
They taking that nigga to Hollywood and Highland. They even had tickets, pictures, take this nigga to Hooters down the street. That's what
I realized. But Ezra Miller is proof that canceling don't work. It does nothing. He's a terrible person. And DC put that statement out and said we were never gonna cancel the film. They don't care.
Why you think Disney hasn't said nothing? They're just waiting for the charges to get dropped or he gets fucking probation. They're like Avengers 5, nigga.
The companies don't care about you. They don't care about what you're fighting for. They're just gonna wait till you. They gonna wait till you stop saying something. You know what? They go two more for y'all.
In typical barbershop next fashion, we give y'all many cinema with the guys at the end, but
it has nothing to do with
nothing
to
do. You can follow us at Barbershop Scott, at Flows and Delaney, at October Zone Tay. As you can see on the bottom of the screen here, you can follow the Barbershop Network and at Barbershop Net, and you can subscribe to the Patreon right now. Patreon.com/Barbershop Network. And yeah, man, we gonna holler at y'all on Wednesday.
Oh, man. Made it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's blind.